Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses, verily, was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end? So he says, partakers of the heavenly calling. He has called us with a heavenly calling, the high calling of Christ Jesus, a calling which calls us to righteousness, holiness, godliness, a calling that calls us out of sin and into the light, or into righteousness, out of darkness into light, and yes, even now in this present world. Having been called to a heavenly calling, to a calling from heaven, to something better and greater than man could ever hope to aspire to, being perfection, eternal life, in righteousness and holiness, godliness. So being called to such a calling, consider, look closely at Christ, because he is our prime example. He is our model. And then to another extent, those who followed him, his apostles, are models, and models that we can more easily understand in our own experience, because Christ, though he was tempted as we were tempted, as we are tempted, he did not sin as we have sinned. So we can look at how Christ dealt with temptation, but not so much at how he dealt and overcame sin in his own body, because, for him it was a different experience. Though he was tempted as we are, and he experienced the things we experience, but he has not fallen as we have fallen. Though not to at all minimize the depths to which he sank to even become a man. Profession in verse 1, it means acknowledgement or assent. So I think maybe confession would be more in line with the way I would think about it. Who is faithful to him that appointed him? Christ, we look at Christ. He was faithful to the one who made him an apostle, to the one who gave him the high priesthood, to the one who appointed him as Savior. So we also need to be faithful to God, who is faithful to us. He was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much as he that builded the house has more honor than the house, or any work of skill. Well, some house may be nice, but you think, when you see something really nice, you think, who built that? And so there is a greater honor for the one responsible for the thing than the thing itself. And so God is the builder of all things. And of our salvation, he is the chief architect. And he has greater honor than we who are built in him. And same thing with Moses. Moses was nothing. He was a fugitive. He was just a shepherd when God came to him in the burning bush. And God made Moses what Moses became. God made him into it. God didn't rely on Moses and Moses' wonderful abilities. No, God gave Moses his ministry. God built him. I will make thee a God, and Aaron shall be thy prophet. He made Moses to be as God to Pharaoh, meaning that he was that magnified in the eyes of his enemies. So we have, you know, Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. You know, I suppose I would refer to the things that he gave, namely the law. But Christ is as a son over his own house, not as a servant tending the house of his master. But Christ is as a son tending the house that is his own inheritance. And we are that house, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Moses was faithful as a master, as a servant would be faithful over his master's goods. Christ is faithful as one who is seeing after his own inheritance. And though in the world there be many unfaithful sons, the point is that he was faithful. So he takes care of it, even to this day. We need to be firm to the end, rejoicing of the hope. Hope carries this idea of expectation. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. We're going to read about that in Hebrews. It is the tangible aspect of what we are expecting to come. I mean, we don't have the thing itself, but we have our faith that it's coming. And hope gives rejoicing. Let's say, I expect I'm going to receive eternal life as a reward for my steadfastness and holding fast this confidence. And the word confidence here is frankness, bluntness. It is the blunt, simple truth that I proclaim over and over again in the scriptures. And it's always the same. It makes teaching the scriptures easy. But these days there are so many men out there teaching the Bible that pervert the words and pollute it with adding all kinds of other doctrines. It's not blunt, it's not simple, it becomes complex. And truly, there are things that are sometimes hard to understand. Sometimes it's language barrier or the way things are said, and sometimes Paul has a funny way of saying things. Sometimes we don't always, aren't able always to read his intention, or of the other apostles, not assuming this was written by Paul, because it doesn't matter. Verse 7, wherefore as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years.